Welcome to episode 67 of the Vancouver Tech Podcast. I'm Drew Grizik, and we're here with our special guests,
Graydon Bensler and Matt Visser.
Let's talk a little bit about the past week in tech. What was the theme of your week? What did you learn?
Well, this past week, we had to basically kind of send out our demo of our product to a few schools. And that was kind of cool because we got to get some feedback. So that was kind of our first experience really kind of letting people take it for a spin and that kind of thing. And I think Vancouver is such an awesome place where everyone wants to kind of help and collaborate that a lot of people were really open to kind of trying it out and giving us pointers and, you know, getting a lot of constructive criticism and that kind of thing. So it was a pretty positive week for us.
I've often heard that, fastest to feedback is a good way to go. So did that seem to ring true for you?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting on it pretty early and you know, we identified a lot of kind of tweaks we want to make. So that was kind of cool.
What was some of the feedback that you got?
I think a lot of it was basically just making it more intuitive, kind of what's more visually appealing and that kind of thing. So it was good. Yeah, we got a lot of really great feedback and I think we're going to get in there and start applying everything.
So was most of the feedback, most of the tweaks, kind of UI, UX stuff?
I guess a lot of it, a little bit was back-end functionality, some also UI, like some minor UI, UX, kind of just like visual, like how things look on the page and that sort of thing and how everything fits together and the functionality of the different buttons and that sort of thing. But I guess a lot of it too in the back-end, like how things work when you're inputting the information, that sort of thing. So
for me, a big part of the theme of my week was managing expectations. We had a lot of conversations and sort of whiteboarding sessions. Sometimes we have rather loose requirements, or at least we think we understand the requirements. But when we start to dig in and actually build out the product, we find that there were some holes. And those things, those kind of rabbit holes, can end up taking who knows how much time because you didn't expect them to begin with. Mm-hmm. And so I think we've gotten a lot better at a couple of things. But one, starting to, as a developer, treat our product people as our customers. So yeah. We want to under-promise and over-deliver when possible. So we kind of had a thing where we had a lot of work and we looked at it and we're like, we could probably finish this by end of day Friday. But we said Tuesday, end of day Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that we did because I feel like we managed expectations quite well. We finished, I guess, like the proof of concept, sort of getting it working sort of code. But we haven't looked at some of the unhappier paths and fixing it up and writing some tests behind it and making sure it's actually clean and understandable. And so that gives us an extra day of refining that to manage those expectations and to see where some of the holes are, because some did pop up. So actually some we still haven't addressed.
Yeah, totally. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like you said, the sooner you can kind of get on them, the easier they are to fix. But yeah, B, it's kind of like, you know, you find yourself, it can be cost effective, you know what I mean, if you can kind of make those adjustments earlier.
For sure. We actually recently brought on, over the past month, I guess, a couple of people to run a QA department. And one of the things that they keep drilling home to business, and I think we've already seen it a lot, is catching a bug in the stages of development before mm-hmm. it goes to production is so huge. Like by the time it gets to production, it's exponentially harder to fix and more costly. So anyway, looks like it's time for meetups around town. So did you get to any meetups last week?
No, didn't have the chance this last week.
What are some meetups that you regularly go to?
We're actually working with a group called AdaptTech. They do meetups on Thursday nights, a lot of kind of workshopping things, and they're pretty broad. So some of them are kind of more business oriented, some are more tech oriented.
So is that the DDD CQRS ES practitioners meetup you're talking about?
Oh yeah, totally. Thursday nights, they're really cool, and they kind of get a collective group of people that are all pretty like-minded, and it's pretty awesome. And we went to two of those, and I think we'll be kind of going to more of those.
Some of the stuff that they've been talking about, like the event sourcing and kind of having a domain ubiquitous language across the domain. So whether you're talking to developers or business people, when you say sign up, you mean sign up, and mm-hmm. it's understood across, is super helpful because, I mean, we've definitely faced issues where we're writing stuff in the back end and somebody's doing something else in the front end and we're like, product, which product? You mean master product, upstream product, blah, blah, blah product? And it kind of gets confusing.
Yeah.
But if you had that sort of domain ubiquitous language mm-hmm. where product, It just means product.
Yeah, we found that with especially even we're doing an educational app, so the fact that every university has a different language where faculty can mean three different things. It's
right.
It's been a little complicated. So then getting the tech side of it, the school side of it, all that language to kind of all make sense under one roof is pretty tough. But
yeah, very cool. So this upcoming week, anything interesting or anything planned that's coming up?
We were hoping to go to the BC Tech Summit, but we've kind of found we have, like you said, as we got the demo out, we got a lot of changes and adjustments that we want to make. So I think we're going to maybe skip that and probably just kind of work out those kinks. But yeah, that's kind of our plan for the week is just to get in there with our developers and start kind of cleaning that up a little bit.
Makes sense. Yeah, it's kind of hard to get out to things when you're super busy,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd really like to make it out there. We had a guest a couple of weeks back from the Neil Squire Society, Chad Lehman. And I think on Monday, he's hosting a full day, maybe, workshop where they're doing, so basically the Neil Squire Society, they do hardware for people who are disabled, helping them to use computers better. And they've got a device you could attach it to a wheelchair, for example, or to a desk. And you can use sort of sip and puff motions. So somebody who may be quadriplegic, for example, to be able to interact with a computer or a tablet. Mm-hmm. And so the devices that they've come up with, they have some open source hardware. It is a 3D printed external case. Mm-hmm. And there's some soldering involved and things like that. But even if you don't have experience, you can go out and help make them. It's a free workshop. He's trying to put together, I think, 1,000 of these devices as part of one of their grants from Google. So nice. That's pretty cool. And they're able to produce these for about $250 compared to the next non-open source competitor that's around $1,500.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So looking forward to that. There's a lot of other meetups coming up this week as well. Take a look down below in the show notes if you're interested in what's going on with meetups around town. And we're here with our special guests,
Graydon Bensler
and Matt Visser.
All right. And you're from?
Yeah, Syllabi Learning Solutions. It's an education software.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what Syllabi is and does and what your roles are in the company?
So basically, Syllabi is essentially, in essence, it's a digital student planner. But what we do is we go to universities and for as an example, like UBC right now, they use Blackboard, they use Moodle, D2L, whatever the schools are, whatever the schools use. Basically, their adoption rates of these softwares is about 30%. So most university institutions, if you're enrolled in three classes, you're going to get your syllabus from basically three different mediums. So one teacher is going to send you your syllabus as a hard copy. One teacher is going to send you emails all semester. The other teacher is actually going to use the online learning management system. So basically what we do is we take a school's syllabus database and we translate them from Word documents onto digital documents that are actually readable by a computer. And then basically what we do is we aggregate all that information for the students. So we provide a single calendar with the due dates of all of a student's enrolled courses. So essentially it's a digital student planner, but rather than it being a paper version, that's not really a green means of doing that. And also it's customized from the very first time you log in rather than it being blank. So, you know, our goal is to kind of give schools a greener alternative, but at the same time, you know, it's a cost-effective version of a student planner.
So really, this is a very organized syllabus, and you can kind of look at a calendar, whether that's on your mobile device, on your computer, however you choose to interface with it, and you can see exactly when your classes are. I'm guessing you could probably set reminders and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Notifications. That's the good thing about it is it syncs all the time. So if your teacher goes in there and she cancels a class or even she just changes the date of a test or adds a reading, anything like that, you basically get a notification. So if you missed a class and, you know, she told everybody that there was a quiz, but you didn't find out. And then next time you're showing up and you're showing up to a quiz you didn't know about, basically we solve that problem. So everyone's notified, you know.
Okay. So it is a pretty interesting problem, but why choose this problem to solve?
I mean, as a student, I used to always find myself, you know, pulling out a piece of paper, writing everything down that was doing all of my classes, losing that piece of paper. And I think a big thing for us is just kind of getting all of the teachers and students kind of on one platform that they can kind of communicate with. But I think student engagement, you know, getting, I think we can actually kind of help students potentially even increase their GPAs if they're aware of, you know, I mean, how many times I go into a quiz that I didn't know was happening, that kind of thing. So just kind of, yeah, just kind of like aggregating all that information so students kind of know, you know, what they have to do.
What are your roles?
We're just kind of partners in this right now.
We just kind of do everything, figure everything out together. Basically, we do all the sales, make all the marketing pitches, investor pitches, that sort of thing. Talk with the developers, work on the design, basically just do everything just hand in hand.
How long ago did you come up with this idea and how did you get started?
So I think, it was about a year and a half ago? Or a year ago?
Yeah, I think we started talking about the idea about maybe even two and a half years ago, but there was honestly probably a year there where we just kind of learnt the market and started to kind of educate ourselves on it. Cause you know, we didn't know too much about education technology. Also, you know, the tech thing was pretty new to us. So it felt a little stagnant that, you know what I mean? For about 6-7 months, we weren't actually, you know, starting development or anything, but, it was a really good thing for us to do because we really kind of learned the ins and outs of learning management systems, education technology, all that kind of stuff. And did a lot of kind of feedback from schools and kind of talk to them about it. And I think in the end, it's helped us tremendously to kind of take that 6 months to really learn it before actually stepping forward. So in terms of, actually, you know, creating the company and building it, we've been kind of working on it for about a year now.
So what were you doing at the time when you kind of came up with this idea and realized you needed to do some market research?
For me, basically I went to school in the States, and I went there for about 5 years, and I was playing college basketball. And so when a coach would get hired or fired, I would end up leaving the school. So I basically got to attend, well, I didn't say got to, but I attended about, you know, I think five different universities down there.
With the same coach?
No, with different coaches. I was just scholarship chasing, that kind of thing. Whoever would pay my tuition, basically. So I basically attended, you know, five different universities, and it was in that process that I used D2L, I use Blackboard, I use Moodle, and it's kind of one of those things where you assume the grass is greener at other schools, and you know what I mean, maybe more than one in three teachers actually uses the learning management system somewhere else, but it just wasn't the case. So it was that experience, and which, you know, was pretty rare. Not a lot of people go to five different universities, so for me to kind of do that kind of gave me a good perspective on what needed to be changed. And then
So how do you handle something like, rather than just throwing yet another medium into the mix and now having, you know, instead of two or three, having three or four places to manage, how do you handle that and make sure that Sylvi.com does become that one sort of unified or single source of truth?
So I think one of the ways that we're trying to do that is taking the onus off of the teachers to do the initial upload. So what we do is we come into the university and we gather all of those syllabus documents for them, and we personally upload it and create them into that exportable document. So it takes the onus off the teachers, and it doesn't give them any other work. So even if you know, the teacher's a little bit like lazy or just doesn't want to buy into a new system right away, the student is not to the detriment of the student, where the student can still log in for the first time. And just because maybe one of their teachers doesn't want to do it, like, they still have all of their classes on it right away. So I think that's one of the big differentiators, in that nobody else is really doing that right now. And we're doing that kind of initial upload and taking that workload off of the university and providing that service.
So if I understand correctly, it sounds like you're saying that currently most of the systems that manage scheduling for students rely on teachers to be setting those schedules, whereas you might imagine that obviously the students are registering for courses and that the school must have sort of a centralized data store of which students are going to which classes. Now, I can understand that maybe scheduling things like quizzes might not necessarily be a part of that database. But does your software do something to consolidate that?
So lots of the schools do have teachers need to submit their syllabus for approval before the semester begins. So lots of schools do already have a big syllabus database. And if they don't have a syllabus database, what we do is we'll create that database for them. But essentially, like for scheduling quizzes and that sort of thing, There's no real way right now, I think, that, I mean, some of the learning management systems will try to do it, but it's kind of, since the participation rate is so low with those things, it's kind of ineffective, it's kind of an ineffective means of communication for lots of the students.
It sounds like something that I think a lot of tech solutions are really good at that tend to require a software component and then the human component of letting people know. And that's sort of inter-department communication.
Yeah.
Where you see this in things like in government, for example, City of Vancouver and City of Surrey might be independently building out very similar systems and have very little communication with each other. They just don't know about it. And there may be other areas like that as well. Whereas something like this can really help to sort of centralize that information store and see what information is needed, therefore just creating a generally better experience, more efficient and more pleasant for everyone involved.
Yeah, essentially we kind of serve as the dashboard between all of these different mediums. So, you know, whether one teacher even wants to use Moodle independently, Blackboard, D2L, if the teacher is kind of old school and likes to just hand out hard copies, and like I said, the other teacher sending out emails, basically it doesn't matter where the teacher falls in that tech spectrum. We basically kind of pick up the pieces and make sure that the student kind of still all has that information regardless of what platform they're on.
Very cool. So what were some of the pitfalls that you may have encountered or difficulties in maybe on the one hand talking to educational facilities, faculties, universities, schools, getting them on board and getting some adoption? And then on the other hand, just starting a startup, you know, and being in Vancouver. Has that been a good experience, a difficult experience? What are some of the things you've learned so far?
I think being in Vancouver has been a blessing to be, you know, doing something like that. It's an amazing place where people want to collaborate, like I said. So it's been great and such an incredible learning experience, honestly. And yeah, just kind of working with like-minded people and that kind of thing has been fantastic. In terms of pitfalls, everyone's been very receptive, which has been really good. Also at the same time, we've been really active with talking to universities and colleges before our product is finished. So rather than coming into the universities and saying, look, this is our product and trying to sell it to them, we're saying, look, this is what we're doing. What can we do to cater it to you guys? How can we, you know what I mean, help what you're doing right now? So that's been pretty positive. And we've learned a lot through that, which has been, you know, pretty good for us.
So what sort of advice might you have for somebody who maybe they have an idea, they may have a partner, they want to work on getting a startup going and they're in Vancouver? What would be a good way, a good starting point? What would be some groups to reach out to? Where would they go?
I would just do the research, learn the market. That was kind of the biggest thing for us. I mean, in terms of, there's so many hubs, there's so many places you can go to kind of meet people and kind of get advice and tons of mentors. What we actually did is we reached out to Murray Goldberg, who's kind of he created WebCT, so he's a bit of a learning management guru. And we brought the idea to him and just kind of said, what are your thoughts? How do you feel about something like that? So, and you know, he was incredibly helpful and gave us some great feedback. So in terms of that, I think the best way is, you know, find someone who's done something similar, find someone who understands the field. Ask them a couple questions, maybe take them for coffee, that kind of thing. And I think you'll learn a ton that way. And then after that, I think the most important thing is to just kind of dive in and actually do it. We were talking about yesterday about how, you know, good ideas are kind of a dime a dozen, and a lot of people have great ideas. But I think the most important thing is to just kind of put your pants on and start working on it.
So definitely pants.
Definitely pants, not shorts.
Yeah. Very cool. I think that makes a lot of sense. Ideas are everywhere, but it's really about the execution.
Completely, yeah. Completely. And yeah, like I said, Vancouver's a great place to do that. And there's tons of people to learn from. And yeah.
So what's on the roadmap for Syllabi in 2017?
We're going to be beta testing and launching, going live in September with a couple of universities. So we'll be kind of launching kind of small in that respect and kind of looking for feedback from them and seeing how like kind of a soft launch goes. And then in the next semester, we'll be hopefully taking it and selling it to universities and trying to take it cross country, I guess.
And how many people on the Syllabi team?
Right now, there's the two of us kind of doing the major heavy lifting. And then we're working with AdaptTech And they've got about four people working with us. And then we're going to consult basically a girl who does amazing UI work. And so we're keeping it kind of small right now because, you know, we're, you know, a young tech startup. So, you know, we're staying
staying lean,
staying modest. And once we get to that point, we're going to start kind of bringing people in and building it in that sense. But as of right now, it's been small and efficient.
If people want to reach out, what are some of the meetups you might go to? And how would people reach out to you?
Right now, if you want to reach us, you can find us on gosyllabi.com. You can send us a message on there. Our developers work out of Tribe, so we'll be doing their meetups Thursday nights at the Tribe. If you need any more information on them, go to Adapt Tech Solutions. You can find them on Facebook. Obviously, any questions, you can email us at Matt and Graydon, respectively, Matt@GoSyllabi and Graydon@GoSyllabi.com.
Very cool. Well, Matt and Graydon, thank you very much for being on the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Check out our website, vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Rate and subscribe on iTunes. Much appreciated.
You can follow us on Twitter, VanTechPodcast.
Feel free to leave some comments below.
You can also hit us up on the YVR Dev, the Vancouver Tech, the VanTech Slacks. I'm @James.
And I'm @Drew. Special thanks to Same Room for hooking us up with an integration that allows us to have a cross-team Slack channel, VanDevs.
Do you have a meetup that you want us to plug? Email us, show@vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Music by A Shell in the Pit from the game Parkitect. See you at one of the meetups around town.